Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
We'll talk about the Warriors' Thursday night win over the Mavericks in just a moment, but first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, the Warriors kind of struggled early on in this game against the Mavericks. First quarter, Mavericks were playing pretty well. A lot of teams come into Oracle Arena fired up to play the Warriors. Eventually, there's a good stretch in the game where they just have an outburst. And, you know, this time it was Klay Thompson, second half. And Kevin Durant had an overall really good game, you know, scoring the basketball, of course, with his 36 points tonight. But, it seems like there are certain games where you have to get up a little more. Maybe with the Mavericks you did, because they're not having a great year, although they've been playing pretty good basketball lately.
Well, they beat San Antonio, and so Steve Kerr was saying, trap game. And it looked like that at the start, a little sluggish beginning for them. But really, against Dallas, a team that's third to last in the NBA in field goal percentage, you only need a couple of scores. Well, just so happens they still have a couple of scores in Durant, who got hot in the third quarter. Klay Thompson got hot in the fourth quarter. And that was an odd first half for Klay. A lot of strange things going on, strange turnovers. They had 10 turnovers in the first half, 16 after three quarters, none in the fourth quarter. So they straightened things out.
Yeah, Steve Kerr couldn't have been happy with some of those turnovers, too. There were a lot of sloppy, unforced errors that they made. Kevin Durant had 5 turnovers, and a couple of those were just really bad passes. Overall, he had a great game. When you look at a guy having 36 points and 11 rebounds and 15 of 23 from the field is ridiculous, really. But you cringe when you see some of these turnovers, just like, a sloppy one-handed pass. And I think that's just – maybe it's a little bit of fatigue. Some of these guys have played a lot of minutes, and that's when you sort of lose those fundamentals.
Well, yeah, I think that also they've had a few days off here and there, but the main thing is they're down 4 guys. They don't have Steph Curry. They don't have Nick Young. They didn't have Zaza tonight. They didn't have Draymond Green. It wasn't the normal flow. It wasn't the normal group. But, yeah, there are a couple of turnovers, the lazy type that drives Steve Kerr crazy. And that was especially in the first half. But I thought they really tightened the defensive effort, especially in the second half and in the fourth quarter. This was a game where you were going to have a lot of half-court sets. You weren't going to have the fast-break runouts that you might normally have. And in those types of games, it's nice to have Klay Thompson. It's nice to have Kevin Durant, who a couple of times beat the shot clock when things got a little hairy there. When you have somebody like that, man, it's really tough for a team like Dallas, which has depleted itself, to sustain it throughout an entire game.
I mean, of course, it's such a different team without Curry and without Draymond Green especially. It's just a totally different type of situation, because Kevin Durant's going to take over the game at some point. He's making all these shots. A lot of times they're bailing them out, too, where, they're bailed out. They're not really going to get a good shot out of it. There's nobody facilitating the offense the way Steph Curry does. So he's just going to, sort of take over on offense.
Yeah. And again, you only need so much against a team like Dallas. By the way, Omri Caspi on Jewish Heritage Night chipped in nicely. In fact, he had his first double-double, I think, in a few years, with 17 points and 10 rebounds. So he was outstanding in this game as well. You had Harrison Barnes come back with 16, and Dirk Nowitzki, always good to see Dirk, 18 points. And from the sound of it, he's feeling pretty good, and he's going to give it another shot next year at the age of 40. I mean, he's not nearly the player he used to be, and defensively, man, you go right after him. But still, he can hit some shots. He's hitting 41% from three-point range this year. That's the highest he's had in, I think, 5 years.
That's pretty good. He's able to have that fadeaway shot that he's really known for. It seems like he could just shoot that all day. Harrison Barnes, definitely, you know, pretty good game with the 16 points, like you mentioned. I thought one of the big keys for the Warriors to win the game was how hot Klay Thompson got, as I was mentioning. And, you know, he's 5 for 5 from three-point land. When he's feeling it, you got to figure out a way to get him the ball, and that's what the Warriors did. I mean, and he had a couple of those where they were just real quick releases, or he made a couple dribbles to get himself in a position. He seems to know exactly when to pump fake as well to create a little space.
Well, the nice thing tonight is, even though it was kind of disjointed in the first half, he got in rhythm in the second half. And all these shots, I thought, were in rhythm pretty much. And the Warriors could sense he was getting hot, and they were feeding him the ball. You know, it was a small version of the Sacramento game, very small version of the Sacramento game. But we know, and they know when he's getting hot. It was Kevin Durant in the third quarter. It was Klay's turn in the fourth quarter. That's really all they needed. Against a team that's now 8-21, that's really struggling. But again, Steve Kerr cautioned trap game, and they said trap schmap.
I think Jordan Bell is showing every game, every day, that he's improving. 4 of 5 from the field in this game. And it's not so much about the scoring, but also, you know, 8 assists on the board, 6 rebounds, just running the floor. You know, he had that one where he ran the floor at the end of a fast break and just knew exactly where to go. He just seems to be getting more and more comfortable with this team.
Yeah, by the way, I shorted Caspi a rebound. They gave him a credit for 11 here. All right, so and Bell was creeping up on a triple-double himself. And again, I love these games, and I think Steve Kerr likes these games too, because now he's going to get extended minutes. A guy like Jordan Bell, a few other players are going to get a chance, and he's done just about everything to justify staying in there. Consequently, guys like JaVale McGee are down the pecking order now. Now, that could change as the year goes on, and I'm sure Steve Kerr is telling JaVale that. Depends on the team, we're going to need you. It ebbs and flows. But right now, Jordan Bell is definitely making a case to stay in there on a regular basis.
Now it's time to go to the Warriors locker room and hear from head coach Steve Kerr.
Well, we had a spell in the third quarter where we turned it over quite a bit. But when we weren't turning it over, we were making a ton of shots. I mean, obviously, Klay got going in the fourth quarter, I think it was, and KD just hit one tough shot after another. It didn't really feel like we were executing very well, and yet we were scoring and making shots. And the biggest thing was I thought we didn't match their intensity until kind of mid-second quarter. They've been playing well. They're always well coached. They don't turn it over. They make it hard on you. And I thought it took us a quarter and a half to meet that level of competition. And once we got going, we were fine.
Steve Kerr talked about Kevin Durant's big game.
I told him today at shoot around, just, you know, it's so amazing to have a player like him who's a superstar, who, without even saying anything, without even me saying anything to him, you know, with Steph out, he just automatically takes over, averaging, I don't know, 34 a game without Steph. As soon as Steph comes back, Kevin's usage rate will go down, his points per game will go down, and he won't mind. So he has this amazing combination of skill and confidence and sort of humility and deference, you know, to his teammates, and powerful, powerful force.
That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. More Dubs OT right after this.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
I think when Curry and Green are out, that Andre Iguodala has to step up, and he's been doing it during this winning streak, 8-game winning streak now. I mean, they need playmakers when they have those two players out, and Iguodala is out. He had 10 assists tonight, and he just seems to really know where everybody is on the floor. He's not counted on really in that role when you have Curry and Green healthy, but right now they need him to play the way he's going.
Yeah, they do. And again, they're running 13 deep, and this is the beauty of having a team that runs 13 deep. Even though they're spotting teams three or four players right now, no problem. Another guy is stepping up. A guy I'd like to see come in is Patrick McCaw. And, of course, he's coming back from the concussion. Nick Young is in the concussion protocol now. So it's going to take him a couple of games. But, yeah, you look at West, McGee, Looney, Quinn Cook, Iguodala. They had plenty of depth tonight to beat this team. And, by the way, Iguodala, 10 assists tonight, no turnovers.
Yeah.
What? I mean, among other things. And he has had a poor assist-to-turnover ratio in the last few games, but what you love about Andre is not only the defensive presence he gives and the ability to guard multiple positions, but he can still run the point beautifully.
One of the things this game will be remembered for, I think, is Kevin Durant kissing a fan on the forehead. And he told Ali LaForce after the game it was the second time that he kissed a fan. I don't remember the first time, but this was pretty funny. You know, at the end of it, at first you were a little worried because the fan got hit with a basketball right in the glasses, you know, right in the face, and everybody was kind of oohing and aahing, but he came over, checked on her, and then kissed her on the forehead. I mean, it was pretty unexpected.
36 points tonight, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, couple of blocks and a kiss. That's filling the stat sheet right there. You know, if that's your wife or your girlfriend, how do you feel about that? I you know, you take it in the spirit it's intended. That was a nice moment. Steve Kerr said after the game that he's glad that he could make a fan feel better. I mean, he's making fans feel a lot better, I'm sure, with his performance here the last couple of years. But that's one of those hazards of sitting courtside, right? You better pay attention. And that was an errant pass that was going about 80 miles an hour. This reminds me of a moment when I was watching a hockey game with my mom. My mom went to her first National Hockey League game when I was about, I don't know, 12 years old. We're sitting right down by the ice, three or four rows up. There's a metal bar behind us, you know, that separates the section. And I turned to say to her, "You can't turn your head from the action for one moment." Clang! Right then and there, puck came and dropped in my lap. So, as if to illustrate the point, fortunately, I didn't have to pay for it with a puck in the forehead or anything like that. But when you're courtside, you got to have your head on a swivel. Fortunately, the lady was okay.
Now let's get back to the Warriors locker room and hear from Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I just try to win every possession I can. You know, on the defensive end, try to keep my man in front of me and contest the shot. Offensively, I just try to get to my spots. You know. And wherever that may be at the moment, if it's a deep three, or it's a one-legged shot, or if it's a pull-up going left or right. Once I tell myself what I need to do, I'm going to just try to do it as best as I can. I might not come through every time, or it might not be the perfect move that I want, but in my mind, I know I got good intentions. So when you have it mentally, when you got good intentions and you focused on every possession, then and you also put the work in, then things tend to go your way. So I just try to be focused on every single possession and get lost in that and see what happens.
Durant also talked about the kiss.
She got hit pretty hard. I seen the when he threw the pass, I was like, oh, this is going straight for her face. So it hit her pretty hard, and she had glasses on, so I'm sure that hurt. And I just wanted to come over there because she didn't want to open her eye. She thought her eye was she had a cut on her eye. So I told her it's all good and gave her a kiss, and hopefully she's all right.
While we're on subjects that have nothing to do with basketball, how about Klay Thompson talking to the media about his dog, Rocco?
I celebrate Rocco every night. You know, it's a blessing to have him in my life. Dogs unconditionally love their owner, so that feels great every time I see him.
That's Klay Thompson. Let's also hear from Omri Caspi.
Just the system itself, just the way the game is flowing, the way the game is moving in our offense. Guys are so selfless and just addicting, you know, and it's fun to play around with these guys and makes, you know, me, you know, all my points are so easy just because of them.
Caspi also talked about Durant's leadership skills.
Kevin's been amazing. I mean, he's always been great for our team, you know, but the past few games, he's just picked it up, you know, on so many different levels. You know, he's having defensive player of the year numbers defensively. He's playing great, really helping everybody, blocking shots. Like, he's always there guarding, you know, whoever gets hot, he's the one guarding him. And, you know, I told him we had a game in Detroit and, you know, I played 4 or 5 minutes, whatever. I made a layup. So every time you do something and you're a role player, like, you make a layup and it's like, Omri, great move. Like, and that brings so much happiness, you know. And I told him, I went up to him at halftime and I said, KD, like, you talking to me like that during the game, that just brings so much more confidence, you know. And he does that to everybody. And he was like, I know, you know, and which is good. You know, he knows that he brings energy and confidence to the role players and the guys playing around him. So such a great leader, humble man. You know, I love him.
That's Omri Caspi of the Warriors. More Dubs OT in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Aaron Judge was in attendance. The American League Rookie of the Year has got to be pretty happy that he has Giancarlo Stanton as part of that Yankees team. But, you know, you see more stars coming out to Warriors games these days, I think, because they're so entertaining.
Oh, yeah. And he's from Linden, which is not far away. About an hour and a half drive heading east toward the Sierra out there in the Central Valley. I think it's on the way to Oakdale, if my memory is correct. A little town that, I mean, they've got to be busting their buttons. This guy has hit it so big and was American League Rookie of the Year. He was enjoying the action. And, yeah, this is very much like the Lakers in the 80s. You see a lot of celebrities, of, you know, not only from the sporting world but the entertainment world. We saw a ton of them the last few years. I mean, we saw Prince like 2 weeks before he died with his scepter, by the way. You just see all sorts of people. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Aaron Judge again out here this year.
You know, the mayor of San Francisco, Ed Lee, unfortunately passed away earlier this week, and he was a big Warriors fan, big sports fan in the Bay Area, and it just came so suddenly to everybody. We were all shocked by it. You know, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of the Warriors players and Steve Kerr got to know him a little bit when he would come out here. So, you know, it's just too bad to see that happen, you know, for a guy who really meant a lot to the city of San Francisco.
Well, he did, and, you know, he was a huge sports fan, and, you know, maybe not the most knowledgeable fan, but he was an enthusiastic fan. And that's, you know, that's a partnership that franchises can have with the leaders of communities, and that can kind of enhance the whole experience for fans. And, you know, we always played the sound bites of him at the Warriors celebration, at the Giants celebration over the years, the broom to the city and all that. But those who knew him, I mean, they're really stunned by this, really stunned by this. And so it gives you an idea of what kind of person he was and how much he'll be missed. And I know the Warriors are going to miss him. And, of course, they're moving to San Francisco in a couple of years, and Ed Lee was part of facilitating that.
I heard that that arena has come along really nicely. The word was that it was maybe, I don't know, 20-25% done already. That seems like it's on a pretty fast pace.
Well, I was just down there last week, rode right by there, and that was the first thought that hit me. This is coming along now. When the first proposal came out, and I said, no way, 2017. And sure enough, it's going to be pushed back to 18 and then 19. But it is progressing pretty nicely. And I know there are going to be a lot of folks in Oakland who are going to be unhappy about this, but the good thing is it's just a BART ride away and a bit of a walk. But still, you can get there. And really, for most fans, it's a public transit ride. Or, you know, you take the car ride if you want to. Like San Francisco traffic is going to be tough. But a lot of fans know how to use this, the transit system. So the main thing is they moved, what, 8 miles away? It's still going to be doable. I know it's tough because here are the Raiders leaving. We don't know what's going to happen with the A's of the stadium. You'd hate to see strike three and you're out. You hope the A's stay in Oakland at least. Oakland needs a professional sport and deserves a professional sports franchise. But the reality of the situation, when a team blows up as big as the Warriors have, they're going to have opportunities like this. And it's about the luxury suites and all that stuff. And they're going to make a ton of money there. But they're not only a top team in the NBA now, they're one of the very top teams in sports.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
Great schedule for the Warriors here. We've talked about it a little bit, how they're not leaving the state of California until 2018. And yep. They got that one road game in L.A. on Monday against the Lakers. But lots of home games. You know, you got the game against the Cavaliers that's coming up. Everybody's kind of eyeballing that one. It's a good time to get on a roll. And they are. I mean, they sort of – it looks like to me that they took that loss to the Sacramento Kings to heart, because ever since then they've been playing really good basketball, even without Steph Curry and Draymond Green.
Yeah, they were shorthanded in that game, too, against Sacramento, but they felt like they should have beaten them, and they should have. They didn't play well against the Lakers. Steph bailed them out in overtime, and I think after those two performances, they said, all right, we got to snap out of this and get going. And even shorthanded, they've been able to do that. That road trip was really impressive. Their defense was excellent. And now the reward is this long stretch at home in the state of California. Two games against the Lakers next week. I think they're going to want to atone for the way they played the last time they were in L.A. And they got a game against Memphis next week, and there's some unfinished business there. Memphis beat them by 10 in October.
Lonzo Ball and the Lakers. Lonzo has definitely taken some, he's definitely taken some criticism because of his dad, you know, getting involved so much in his kids' play. But he seems to handle all that pretty well. I mean, for a rookie, seems to be like, you know, he's getting his triple-doubles. Not shooting great, you know, as we talked about when the Warriors played the Lakers. But he did get on that little run against the Warriors. Remember where all of a sudden he started hitting some shots?
Yeah. It was like, where the hell is this coming from? It's going to happen. It's going to happen for him. He's got an unorthodox shot. I mean, my advice to him, if he wanted advice from me, would be do what you do, all right? I use the example of Kevin Martin. He had an unorthodox shot, and he killed the Warriors for years. That's what he's used to. Just go with that. The numbers are going to go up. The rest of his game is coming along, and he's had a couple of pretty impressive games, actually. So it's very, very early in his career. We're talking 25, 30 games. And, you know, Steph Curry said it a couple of weeks ago, I'd hate to have anybody judge me on my first 20 games of my career, although he was a lot better than Lonzo. It's just all the hype surrounding him. You know, any failure is magnified. He's going to have success in this league. I have absolutely no doubt about that if he's healthy.
I think having an unorthodox shot is part of the fun of watching NBA players. I mean, with Caspi, look at his shot. I mean, that thing is a rainbow. They were kind of joking on the TBS telecast, the TNT telecast, about how if you were in a gym, his shots might hit the ceiling. I mean, if you were in a high school gym, it might hit one of the lights.
Well, I thought one of them might hit the scoreboard here, but he hasn't taken a lot of threes this year. That's, you know, part of the game that's interesting. I think up to tonight he took 13 threes. Well, tonight he didn't take a bunch either. He just took a couple. He was 1 for 2. But his overall game, I think he's focused more on cutting to the hoop, you know, getting shots in the lane, things like that, and scoring on the break, and not so much on the three-point shot, because most nights he's had a lot of great three-point shooters on the floor. He's not been able or had to take so many threes. Omri is down on the floor right now addressing the post-game crowd on Jewish Heritage Night. They're about to light the menorah here. So big night for him to come out and actually have a really good game. Like I said, 17 points and 11 rebounds, a couple of assists and a couple of blocks. And just real quick on the assist, the Warriors hit that magic number, 35, even without Steph Curry. You know, I mean, without Steph, your threat from three-point range is reduced. Without Nick Young, that's the case. But they still have some weapons, especially against a depleted Dallas team. So got off to a slow start tonight, but they ended up with 35 assists in this game. Very impressive.
Very impressive. By the way, to finish up, another part of the telecast I wanted to bring up, that TNT had a soundbite from David West that I thought was interesting to listen to, talking about the second unit and what Steve Kerr has done, just the way he's managed the minutes, the way he gets everybody involved, and how they are ready. And you see these different players stepping up. In that Portland game, David West, he stepped up big. He was like a beast in that game. You know, it just seems like a different player every night comes off the bench and steps up.
David West has really had a good year. And we've said it before, he's played better than last year. In fact, a lot better than last year. And he says, yeah, he just hits the weight room. It's, I don't know, muscle milk or whatever it might be. I'll have what he's eating because he looks even younger as a player this year, and he is more aggressive going to the hoop. And maybe he has a better understanding of the offense as well. And the thing you love about him is in the half-court set again, because not everything's going to be fast break and wing threes and all that, but in the half-court set, he's so good at the post finding a cutter and you know, getting the ball for an easy basket. And if that's not there, if they slough off of him, he's got the elbow jumper.
Well, I also heard that he cut down, cut his diet down to very few sugars and candies and ice cream and all that kind of stuff. It must have helped him a lot. I mean, it's hard for everybody to do that.
Yeah, I sure can. So, of course, I don't have to play in the NBA, but that's a word to the wise. It's going to be impossible to keep to that regimen here with the holidays coming up. We've got Hanukkah, we've got Christmas, we've got Festivus, we got Kwanzaa, we got New Year's. Yeah, that's hard, to stay away from the sugars and the stuff that's bad for you. So I'll get right on that in January.
All right, maybe by the end of the season, you'll be singing something like we're hearing in the background right now. But we'll see you again next week, Ray. And thanks, everybody, for watching us on Facebook Live and listening here to Dubs OT.
And happy Hanukkah to everyone.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.